It is the fifth day of July. This is the closing market report. Let's check the markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy 4th of July and a blessed Independence Day weekend, everybody out there.
Did you have a good 4th?
We did. We had a really nice 4th. We worked on the new office out here in Kansas, and then we went up to some new friends we've made, and had some grass-fed beef on a charcoal grill, and it was fantastic.
Oh, you should have said it was corn-fed, nonetheless.
Sorry, I can't with my cholesterol, Todd.
I hear that. Hey, I did see a little bit of that new office space because I follow you in other places. Your little video online that you produce for the clientele looks really nice and kind of looks like a sweet office space you have there at the house.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because I'm temporarily held up in the family room and we're redoing the basement. So I'm going to go from a very brightly lit room to one with one window and a bunch of bars around it. So I'm trapped in there to do analysis all day and all week long.
Well, with the bars, you can drink. Oh, wait.
That's right. Maybe we'll get a ping pong table,
okay,
too.
different kind of bars. I had an awfully good day yesterday, too. My wife is from the Peoria area, and she went up there Wednesday, but I went up to her mother's house yesterday, rode the motorcycle northwest towards Peoria, and I got to Bloomington. I turned there at Downs and went straight west through Shirley and then on over to Green Valley, kind of across. Oh, I knew I thought I'd come across to Olympia High School. If you've been in the area, it's out in the middle of nowhere. And I did. And you know, the crops, there's a corn crop in Illinois. It really looked good. But the beans, they need a couple of weeks. They've only been in the ground for a couple of weeks. So kind of have to wait and see on them.
Yeah, and you know, here it's been really interesting because I took a crop tour yesterday with the family as well in the afternoon, and we went from Atchison north and west to Hiawatha, Kansas, and then we got to just south of Falls City, Nebraska, so we could get into Nebraska and see the corn crop. There was the best corn, probably equates to what a lot of the Ohio and eastern Indiana people are looking at, a lot of corn shooting tassels on the Kansas-Nebraska border. But that, it was almost like it peaked there, and then as I came back down to Atchison, it went downhill very fast. And this past week, I can tell you, with a bunch of missed rains and temperatures warming up into the low 90s today and going to be breaking into the upper 90s by the end of this weekend, the crops have gone backwards a lot, and there's a lot of variability. There's corn that is not more than calf high, and like I said, there's corn that's tasseling. So the younger stuff, the beans look like they got a little bit of disease pressure that could become a lot of disease pressure if we turn off hot and dry. So I think this is where this week's trade and what we just got done seeing and the fact that we went down to the lowest level since October 2010 on a pathway where the corn market is probably pricing in what you see and what I saw on the Nebraska border with the idea that we are going to go well above 2 billion bushel carryover. But next week, if we come back with a hot, dry forecast with the Western Corn Belt, I think the trade's going to have to pay attention to that because there is a lot of vulnerability in this still very young crop.
It's all about not just looking in your backyard.
Right.
And just the difference between what I saw, and I ran maybe 115 miles one way. I went a little longer than just straight to Peoria. And I don't know, how far did you drive one way going north?
Oh, let's see, a couple hours times 70, so about 150 miles.
Yeah,
north-northwest.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So between the two of us, we saw completely different kind of crops.
Yeah, and I think that's it's interesting because I was talking to clients about this today after sending out a weather report and getting an update from Ed Kieser and talking to him about the European model turning warmer and drier. And he said, you know, hold on the reins, but watch it because we are starting to see a little bit of a turn with this model on the back end. And I think that what I have put together between what you and I are talking about and clients are talking about is there is a lot of vulnerability out there, and I thought we would be through the worst of it by the end of June when we've talked in the past, but I'm starting to walk that back now because the trade has taken the path of least resistance after the acreage report and just, you know, slammed the new crop corn price while the July corn price went higher again for this week.
Yeah, on the weekly trade, let's see, July was up, 5.5 cents? Not greatly, but it finished at 684¾. December corn for the new crop at $4.91¼, down 19¾. But that comes on top of a 56¼ cent drop for the month of June.
That's right. You know, last year we were talking about the Decatur, Illinois bid being the epicenter of the drought and the bid to be watching for how high corn could go. I think we're moving that epicenter northwest towards Davenport, towards Cedar Rapids. The big basis increases for old crop corn today came in Keokuk, came in Cedar Rapids, came in North Dakota, came in parts of South Dakota. Mitchell, South Dakota jumped 13 cents and is now over a dollar over the September. So I think this year we're going to have to broaden our horizons a little bit as far as how tight we get, and that would make sense given the vulnerability of the crop seems to be more in the western and especially the southwestern primary corn belt.
Mitchell, South Dakota, home of the Corn Palace. Have you been there?
I have not. No, oh. It's been a long time since I've been to Mitchell. I've never been to the Corn Palace.
Oh, you got to go. It's been forever since. You said Mitchell. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off track, but I was like, Mitchell, South Dakota. Why does that sound familiar? The Corn Palace, where they build, or they have, what, a building that they cover with all kinds of corn. It's a beautiful sight.
Sounds nice. Sounds like you don't want to smoke a pipe around it, though.
It's a beautiful mosaic. So they shell all the corn, all kinds of different things, and then I don't remember how they attach it to the outside of the building. Look it up on the web.
Okay, I will.
It's really cool. And since you're closer, you'll have to go up and take a look at it. Okay. So this is kind of where we are with the corn. What about soybeans? Because on that side, things look much better, although the November for the month of June was down 52 and a quarter and another 23 and a quarter this week. But the difference for the beans is that they don't look all that great anywhere.
No, and I think they are the most vulnerable, both in the eastern belt and the western belt. Elevator clients in Ohio, producers in eastern Indiana have all reported that the heavy wet soils that have not been able to dry out are starting to see disease pressure. Beans are turning yellow from a lack of oxygen, and they're not that great looking after this week. And so even in the wetter, cooler areas, the beans have gone backwards. And I think this is where we have to be very careful about how hard we sell the beans and how we sell the beans in general. I think your basis is probably your best friend right now in new crop beans. July beans closed up 23.5 this week, while the November closed down, like you say, around 23.5, 23 and three quarters. So that July-November bean spread continues to be a friend and would suggest don't lock in basis here. And that this next 2 weeks, if we do turn off hot and dry in the western corn belt, while the USDA and the trade may be assuming the corn yield is going up, they may actually put more fireworks and more explosive price action on the idea that the bean yields are going down, even if the acres are going up. It's still a lower net production in beans. So I, as a bearer of beans overall and seeing the beans having most of the value in them as far as overvalue, I still have to be respectful not to get too heavily sold in the cash market because of what we're seeing right now.
All right, go through the last 3 weeks of the month of July for me and what it might look like for corn in particular. We'll get to that fourth and fifth week of July when we really ought to see whether the crop's there, and the bulk of the crop will be tasseling and shooting silks all at the same time.
I'll put it to you this way. I think the best opportunity for a final low in the summertime, and it would include the rest of the month of July, between what the trade is factoring in terms of 450 cash corn right now as of this Friday, would suggest to me you're at a 2.1 or 2.2 billion bushel ending stocks figure. So you've priced in a very bearish USDA report next week. Also, going back to the weather, I would suggest that if we do turn off hot and dry in the 240-hour model, you know, late next week, and there's no turning back to a colder impulse from Canada to push it back across the Rockies, I think you have a really good shot of having a good low in place next week. If that doesn't happen next week, I don't know when it would, because you would have a lot of other factors starting to work against you.
Do you have numbers and guesses for the WASDE report next week?
Yeah, I kept my yield below 160 in corn. I did take it up 1.5 bushels versus June to 157. My harvested acres are about 500,000 less than USDA's acreage report last week. For the beans, I'm still about a bushel below the USDA at 43.2, and a harvested acreage number that's about 200,000 less than USDA as well. So I'm running a 1.725 carryover and a 268 carryover for beans heading into this report.
Hey, thank you so much. We
appreciate
it.
Okay, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Mike Suslow. Hey, Mike, don't forget, we'll call you again at 4:30 this afternoon for Commodity Week. Mike, of course, is out in Atchison, Kansas. He is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, at least for a couple of more weeks until they officially move out there. We'll talk with Mike at 4:30 this afternoon. You can find Commodity Week up on our website at about 6 o'clock, maybe a bit sooner than that. Our guest this week from the heart of the state of Iowa, Chad Hart, in fact, will be our panelist and guest. He is an extension ag economist at Iowa State University.